Introduction: The Journey of a Digital Transformation. Thank you for picking up this book, and congratulations on your decision to embark on the journey of a digital transformation. I wrote this book as a guideline to demystify the concept of digital transformations. It comes with tips, tricks, cases, and is here to help you get the fundamental pieces together. I'm Sasha Dobelaar, and it's my goal to help you drive your business forward into a more productive, more lucrative future. Consequently, I created this book to lift the veil of the mystique of digital transformations. And with 20 years of experience in e-commerce, manufacturing, software development, and digital transformations, I believe in having gathered enough experience to help you drive and improve your business forward to create a bright new future. This book is the sum of my experiences aimed at condensing the matter and making you more capable of handling said transitions more effectively. Learn, enjoy, and above all, implement. Transformation, the natural progression of things. First things first, let's address the elephant in the room. Many people believe that digital transformations are mythical creatures and will lead to an increased workload, higher costs, and more complexity. Now, this idea is nothing short of a lie. It's preposterous. When applied correctly, digital transformations are about simplification and workload reduction. It's about removing friction and allowing your team to focus on their core tasks and removing distractions and unneeded workload. Digital transformations are not magic. They are the product of deep understanding, simplifying processes, and implementing or replacing tools to create faster workflows and remove clutter. Just like cleaning up your desk, they are essentially the new industrial revolution. And your goals could be any of several things. It could be about improving operational efficiency, increasing knowledge retention, or creating sharp competitive edges. They could be about building a new business model. It could be about so much more. So, no matter what your digital transformation goals are, it's essential to understand that a digital transformation will allow you to play an entirely different ballgame when done correctly. It's to help you rediscover and change your business to become a lot more efficient at what it does. This efficiency will lead to scalable growth and increased profits in an ever competition-increasing world. When should you not automate? Well, for as long as we've known humanity, ambitious men and women have been looking for tools to improve their output. Look at farming. It starts with a shovel, then there are plows pulled by animals, and now we have massive tractors driven by people. Soon we'll see fully automated tractors. These tools allow farms to become bigger and bigger and become more and more profitable. However, some environments still require a shovel. Now, perhaps the land isn't big enough, perhaps the people are more economical than tools, or perhaps the owner just have no interest in efficiency or fundamental growth. Whatever the reason, one's strategic goals should always be aligned with one's automation and digital transformation goals. Talking about digital goals also imposes a great question. How ready are you for a digital transformation? We've created a 10-question test. You can find it on the website or in the book, and it will give you a dynamic report to answer many of the questions that you may be struggling with. But for now, here's a few actionable items. Take the test, understand your challenges around operational efficiency, understand your position related to knowledge retention, and determine what would give your company a sharp competitive edge. Before you can automate, though, you need to determine your current state of affairs. You need to understand your structure thoroughly, including the processes both on a macro and micro level. And with detailed knowledge of your structure, processes, systems, and current challenges, you'll be capable of reaching down to the core. Reaching deep and rebuilding your company's DNA is an immense crucial part of your company's transformation. The reality is that successful digital transformations are as much about the attitude, desire, and deep cooperation as it is about integrating new tools. No business without people. Determining the current state of affair is therefore an important step. It will show the realities and needs of your organization and its people, and in turn, help you create processes that will run on autopilot. Automation is about giving your customers the best you have to give with consistent results and simultaneously reducing your overheads to an absolute minimum. This is the mindset where we start. How can we help you, help your team, help your customers? To determine your current position, Create the workflows of every section here you desire to change. You can start from bottoms up or go top down. However you do it, make sure you don't get bogged down in the nitty-gritty. It's about data flow and decision-making, combined with discovering internal challenges. We earlier spoke about two fundamental approaches to a transformation, one being a complete overhaul and one being incremental change. Let's have a look at an example. For a complete overhaul, we took a manufacturer and looked at their current state of affairs. This was a textile accessory manufacturer focused on manufacturing white label products, caught in a time where manufacturing was outsourced to cheap labor countries. How does a company built around traditional values of quality and local employment survive? Everything they do is too expensive. Clients run away in flocks, so how do you turn this around? The reality was that independent of market conditions, this manufacturer had several strengths. They had a proximity to the end customer. They had the knowledge and team to deliver high-quality products, and they had ideas and the ability to quickly materialize fresh product ranges. For the low-hanging fruits, let's have a look at our multi-channel retailer. We've got a multi-channel retailer. They own about 25 physical stores. They offer 50,000 products, and they were previously manually added and updated to the website. The team did this one by one, real manual labor. Just like when orders were coming through, they were also copy-pasted into their ERP system. Manually, one by one. Clients, however, can order anything at any given time. And because there was no real structure behind the internal operations of the business and the websites, they were selling out-of-stock products. And yeah, even when you're profitable, dealing with a high-volume, low-margin sale, is it really that wise to have manual work on every single interaction? How can you create happy customers if you're selling out of stock products? The reality was that independent of the size and success of the organization, they have to manually copy paste orders from one system into the other. And they're selling discontinued products because a team cannot manage 50,000 products and updating the stock status every second. So, how did both organizations deal with their challenges? At the end of this chapter, let's have a look at some action points. What is your current state of affair? To create the workflows of every section to be changed. 3. Identify your strengths and weaknesses. 4. Understand what it would mean to do a complete overhaul or incremental improvements. Determine the rewards for each of the transformation strategies. Identify the areas most ripe for improvement and create a mindset of helping the team help the customers. Transforming your business and getting the basics right. Automation is a crucial part to creating a future-proof, profitable and scalable business. We want to ensure that the changes are of the right quality and drive long-term, meaningful value. Often, it's the case that fundamentals are overlooked. But before you start thinking of the larger chunks to automate, it's essential to start at the beginning. We can ask some basic questions like, is every section of your team working on the identical information, or are different systems containing different variations of the same information? Is the software working for them, or is it a glorified database? Without fully synchronized and actionable information, you will be unable to leverage the strengths of your digital transformation. There are many aspects of digital transformations that can be done on various levels of your organization, and the better you have the fundamentals down, the further it can be driven with greater success. There are two main ways you could tackle a transformation strategy. One would be a complete overhaul of the whole business. Second one would be incremental change, where you take specific aspects and iterate over them to get to your goals, one step at a time. Now, depending on the situation of your company, one will be more applicable than the other. Let's take complete overhaul as an example. It's a high-risk, high-reward approach. And when we let go of our predefined definitions of how things should be done, we can create the mental space to look at the company's procedures, how it could be done. We open ourselves up to the potential to move in a direction that could benefit the company. Even though it may be outside of the traditional boundaries, the benefits can be enormous by taking this risk and embracing the reward. we can look at various aspects from the ground up and by doing so devise a complete digitized way to rebuild the business from the ground up. This can be a way to create a modernized, innovative, operational business that brings the company into a new era of success. Not only does this create the opportunity to be more efficient, it also allows for a greater level of creativity and adaptation to an ever-changing marketplace. By taking a risk and embracing the reward, we create the potential for a new level of success for the company. And as long as this risk is calculated and managed responsibly, the results have the potential to be great. With that and the right plan in place, the results can be truly remarkable. However, this approach is not suitable for everyone. A few examples where it might be useful would be that you're building a complete new activity, and since the company doesn't really exist yet, it makes it the right moment to build from scale right from the start. Or perhaps your business model is going extinct and you need a complete fresh approach and restructure the complete business to really create a way forward into the future. The second one is about incremental change. Small steps, taken one at a time with low risk, can be a very attractive way to achieve success. This is especially true when focusing on the low-hanging fruits on the areas of the business most ripe for improvement. It can be intimidating to attempt to make changes to complex systems, so still by taking small steps and targeting the areas that are most ready for improvement, it is possible to make lasting change that can have a positive impact. This is especially true if your company is already on a high growth trajectory where the growing pains are hard to resolve, and in industries where there is a fundamental shortage of talent, or if you're dealing with an industry that has low margins but high volumes, this approach is remarkable. Goals. Envisioning your future and defining success. Whether you're trying to redefine your business from the ground up or tweak specific parts for higher efficiency, what matters is they are clear on the goals. You, your team, and all stakeholders must fundamentally see and believe the end result. No matter how minor their input may seem, the success of your digital transformation will rest entirely on the belief of your entire team. Why is that? Simply because a transformation of this nature is in many cases faith. Instead of giving you a bunch of theory, let's jump straight in with some examples on which we'll build the rest of the transformation structure. Remember, don't take your eye off the goal once in motion. Often, during such a transformation, the vision gets muddled. So when it does, take a step back and ask yourself, why? Then identify the reason why and push forward. Remember, if you don't see the solution to a problem, then simply turn the problem upside down. Let's define the end goals for our manufacturer, which needs a complete overhaul. To enable the white label company to become profitable again, they need to leave behind the past and embrace the technologies of the future. So let's map our goals. Proximity to their end customer, so they can deliver straight to the end consumer and heavily increase their margins through verticalization. Knowledge and team to deliver high quality products. They have a product with great value, and it has a fantastic quality. The ideas and the ability to quickly materialize the product. They have the ability to design and launch new product ranges, even in an iterative manner, and it's available in-house. For this company, verticalization through e-commerce was the answer. However, this required them to take a long lead time, low order volume activity and transform it into a high proficient, short lead time, high volume company. In order to do this, they will need to automate their complete chain of operations into one smooth process to churn out many, many micro orders, this instead of very few larger orders. Let's look at our retailer. Here we are looking for some low-hanging fruits. Now the desire for transformation is quite evident here. A high volume of orders with a lot of repetitive work in between systems. The low-hanging fruits are copy-pasting orders from one system to another. We need to remove the need to copy orders into the systems. Orders should go straight into the ERP without no need for human intervention. The selling of discontinued products as the team cannot manage 50,000 products by hand. So the inventory on the website needs to show the inventory in the warehouse, minus the orders that need back processing. Lead times need to reflect the items available, combined with items waiting to be delivered. What are our action points? First, envision what success looks like for you. Then map out the relevant stakeholders, and then map out the goals you wish to accomplish. Realizing your aspirations. Great, you've determined your aspirations and problems. You've defined your goals and desires. Now, let's try to put them together and get some answers. Several things are important when looking at the solutions. As many roads lead to Rome, some of these roads, however, will be more efficient than others and hold more or less strategic value than others. So remember, digital projects are iterative. They are a multi-pass process. So if at first you don't succeed, try and try again. Because when building meaningful digital transformations, it's essential to consider the many choices that you will face. In addition, there are many ways to try and accomplish those goals. These choices may be internal choices. Do we automate our shipping flow first? Do we automate the procurement analysis? Or some of these choices may also be externally forced. Your ERP system is considered legacy. Should we migrate to a different platform, or should we retrofit the current system with modern capabilities? When determining your path, think of your team. It is the path fast-paced or slow-paced. You might have the option to make radical, extreme ROI-based changes, but can your team handle radical? If you're choosing a slower adaptive path, does that require redevelopment from scratch when you wish to expand? Again, high ROI approaches are often highly desirable when building your first digital transformation, especially if you're only trying to grab some low-level hanging fruit. Don't overthink it. Learn, do, and enjoy. Let's go back to our examples. So firstly, our manufacturer that is looking to overhaul the whole business. If this company chooses to go for quick and fast reconstruction of its structure, well, that might be perfectly well for a first proof of concept, but as soon as they start discovering their new path and decide on the new requirements, for example, marketplaces or customer expectations, they may conclude that their entire system needs a structural rewrite. So unless the goal is exactly this, you should avoid this. However, in the case of our soon-to-be D2C manufacturer, a complete rebuild is exactly what they desired, so it would probably be advisable to start with a minimum viable product and then iterate on it to really map it perfectly to the newly constructed workflows. Our second example, the retailer. Here, they are looking to grab some quick wins, and they don't necessarily care about the long-term applications or implications for various reasons. In this case, there's really no genuine issue in building something quick. The immediate return on investment far outweighs the risk of developing structural solutions. For example, the number of returns might cost so much that the ROI of such a project might be just simple weeks. So in this case, you instead of developing a structural application, you plug the hole and worry about the entire bathroom later. Deciding which road to take is worth actively considering. Make sure you attract the right partners. Commission a partner who understands your vision, or even better, somebody who can give you strategic insights and has the experience of making the right choices considering your circumstances and ambitions. The truth is that even for experienced digital transformers, or tweavers as we like to call them, there are still many ways to approach a problem. Projects like these are often more an art than a science. So, if you find yourself in a position wanting to move forward and looking for a partner, you know, get in touch via sd@tweef.tech. My team and I will happily help you clarify the situation and get you back on track with company growth and other goals you may have. Selecting the right solution. There are many established ways you can solve your problems. Considering that you may want custom development or the ability to use something out of the box. Someone may have solved your challenges already and decided to commercialize them. So before making the choice, custom versus standard, know precisely what it is you want and what solutions that match this desire is crucial. More often than not, technological decisions will heavily impact your organization's DNA. It will impact your ability to move, your ability to make decisions. Therefore, you want to be aware of the impact of each of these solutions, because this impact will play a role both on a financial level, growth level, and strategic level. So choose your partners wisely and prepare well. Only then will your digital partner be able to give you the right technology. Let's look at our examples again. The manufacturer. Now, we've already established that they're looking to overhaul their organization. But what is the right solution? In this case, these were their choices. Either use a pre-developed ERP, like there are many ERPs around us, some generalist ones, some niche ones, some can be well adjusted to try and match your requirements. Or there's also the option to create an ERP from scratch, from the ground up. And actually, this would allow the company to focus on process efficiently. The efficiency of their processes could be key here, because when developing from scratch, they avoid having to focus on the tools, rather they create tools to avoid to accommodate their situation. We actually chose a hybrid solution here. So the ERP itself was built from scratch, but a lot of the customer generated service tools, they were actually cleanly integrated with the bespoke ERP. This helped keep the total cost of ownership down and yet allowed them to focus on efficiency first and foremost. The goal was to reduce the administrative workload by at least 60%. In reality, 95% was reached. This because the whole chain was redeveloped all the way from procurement to manufacturing, to shipping, to customs declarations, to customer service. Every single step was taken and converted into a D2C. Now, how about the retailer? The same goes for our retailer. Their software tools need to be connected, and we need to avoid copy-pasting information of orders. I can hear you thinking, install an app, but yet we're not dealing with the software with that kind of interconnectivity. We're working with a legacy ERP. There is hardly an API point. There is just an SQL database you can read from. So API first is out of play. The choice is also here. Do we really want to overhaul the ERP at this point? It's a slow, expensive, painstaking process that would really leave them handicapped for a long time. Or do we go for a completely different road and do we create a custom piece of middleware software? It's essentially a software that is developed specifically to deal with the handicap of their ERP and resolve their problems in weeks, not months, not years, but weeks. Considering the challenge itself of merely integrating stock and orders, it was clearly the right choice to work with a middleware software, especially considering the implementation speed and the total cost of ownership of this middleware. This was the right way forward, and the total ROI was weeks. In both of these examples, some bespoke work was done at least to different degrees, and this approach matches their goals seamlessly. Both companies would not be served well by purely using off-the-shelf tools. So you should really consult with your digital transformation partner to determine which solution is right for you. Remember, don't be afraid of choosing bespoke tooling. They may be, in some cases, more costly upfront, but they pay themselves back in dividends, in terms of efficiency and of requiring very little maintenance, and if correctly selected, no noticeable license fees neither. So, some action points. Get on one line with your team. Choose a partner who understands your vision and has the experience of making the right choices. We from Tweave obviously recommend Tweave, but also determine the impact of each solution on financial growth and strategic levels, and consider the speed and total cost of ownership of the solutions. Great software is an art, not a science. Contrary to popular belief, it really is an art. Many intelligent people can write software, and you'll find them all over the world. But writing software and writing software to improve your business are two very different worlds. Both your partners and advisors must understand that distinction. Any programmer worth their salt can come up with a tool to track your tasks and send them somewhere. However, designing and developing the tools that can fundamentally restructure and improve your business for the better, now that is genuinely an art. Much of the software focuses on giving the users more information, more data, more decisions to make. And that's very nice, but they can leave you crippled. These tools are glorified databases, and that's all beautiful and great for your competitors. But for you, you really want to beat your competition, and you need a sharp competitive edge. This competitive edge will only truly come from understanding the market's needs and the possibilities of a true digital transformation. Redefining your business will be hard, but don't forget that Rome wasn't built in a day neither. Think back to your days in school. Learning math came with successes and failures, most likely, and the same will be for the process of redefining your business. As with your school careers defining great software, we must consider a digital transformation an iterative process. It's not something you launch with a button. It's a trial and error. So getting your team on one line and selecting the right partners is truly crucial. When you embark on this journey, you want to arrive at the destination safely. So the right partners and the right attitude will make it so. In selecting the right technology, there is no one-size-fits-all answer. Various parts of the company will have different needs. For example, customer service probably uses a ticket system. Sales will want a CRM. Operations will be using an ERP tool. And accounting, well, they will want accounting software. So let's make sure the right people have the right tools. And let's look at the tools objectively and determine whether or not existing tools can deal with the load and expectations of the future, or if you need something newer or something more bespoke. There will probably be some degree of custom work involved, and the degree of custom work will heavily depend on your vision, needs, goals, and end goals. But as a rule of thumb, let's consider that the transformations described in this book are modular. That means when selecting software, we'll be looking at the following. Match, does the tool work for the team? Integrations, does the tool deeply integrate already with other tools, or can we make sure that it can? And make sure that it has access to all the right information. Future proofness. Is the tool truly a right fit going forward for years, or is it something of the old world that doesn't help going into the future and create that sharp competitive edge? Based on these answers, one would map out the data flows and bring the puzzle together. So here is what you do. Get your team on one line and select the right partners. Look at the tools objectively and determine your priorities. Map out the data flows, bring the puzzle together. Select the right technology for each part of the company, and finally determine if the tool is the right fit going forward. Calculating return on investment. Now, this is one of the most important factors to consider when making any investment decision. Yet, somehow, it's often overlooked. Calculating your ROI of your digital transformation is such a crucial step in the process of analyzing the potential risks and the rewards. You're about to make big changes. Understand what it will bring. Looking beyond that horizon of that ROI, it's also important to realize that some projects undeniably have a ROI that is so high that the cost calculation may not matter. It could be the example of our retailer. But for our manufacturer, their return on investment was much more subtle. The business needed reinventing, and in the case of the return on investment for the retailer, it was more of a matter of weeks. So more often than not, ROIs have a subtle influence that is not consistently measurable in direct return, so we'll call them soft returns. Here's a few examples. Automated order processing leads to faster order rotation. That's directly measurable. But it will also lead to an increased customer satisfaction. Fewer ghost orders. Ghost orders are orders that have been sold, but they were no longer on stock. It will reduce the amount of returns. Those are soft returns. Overhauling your complete article structure and investing in product information management will improve the quality of your website and drive conversions. That's a hard return. But it will also help your floor sales team to deliver and serve customers quicker. It will allow them to serve more customers at the same time. This is a soft return. When judging the return on investment of your transformation, look beyond the immediate financial return and also ask yourself, does this decision empower my team? Will it increase consistency in results? And will it give us a sharp competitive edge? And finally, will this investment allow us to outpace the market and really push for market leadership or protect our market leadership? These are some crucial questions that one must ask of themselves in order to truly appreciate the possibilities of these projects and understand the long-term implications and advancements you can make with the business. Make sure that you also determine your total cost of ownership. These projects are complex, and if not everyone is on the same page regarding the end goals, then in addition, the changing of the rules during the match can prove very costly. When you look at the budget, be aware of the clarity of your desires and goals, and make sure your partner understands both your company and its structure well. Finally, be mindful of the running costs and the recurring ones. When using open source technologies, the estimated cost of licenses will be low to non-existent. When using Microsoft-based solutions or SaaS-based solutions, they will become an integral part of your annual budget and grow with every single user. How much support do you need? What's the cost of the development? Is there an investment from your staff in time? That's an overlooked one as well. What is the cost of training and the time of training needed when new members are introduced? So, what about that ROI? Well, once you've calculated the total cost of ownership, you understand what the current situation is costing you. Then all is left is estimating the potential savings or growth. To take the suggestions as proposed, multiply them by your volume and compare this to the TCO. Don't forget both hard and soft effects on your investments. Some projects will be profitable in weeks, months, or some much longer. It all depends on your goals as an organization and your experience and appetite for automation. This may also affect your goals in terms of stability and scalability plus growth. Again, here the right partner will be your guide. So here's what you do. Make sure you understand the soft returns. Estimate your potential savings. Understand your appetite for automation. Calculate the ROI of the transformation approaches and compare your potential savings to the total cost of ownership, its soft effects and investment. Aligning your team now, here is a vital piece. This chapter might be the last, but it should not be taken lightly. Your team's willingness to adapt and transform with your company will be the source of success or failure. While this is the number one reason transformation projects fail, it often stems from a fear of change and therefore a loss of income. As a result, many will assume their job is on the line. As you can imagine, this is immensely counterproductive. It's essential to make sure that you take the time to align your entire team. Help your team focus on the bigger picture and guide your members of team to see how this will increase their worth. For example, showing the value what other tasks could be doing for them. They could be adding real value for the business and themselves by removing daily labor-intensive tasks. Skipping team alignment is the biggest mistake that decision makers make. Skipping this step leads to the most of project failures. Your vision of a future needs to be supported by the people involved. Here's a simple example. An unattended creation of invoices. Before, most of your accountant's time would be spent copy-pasting customer information into the invoicing platform, adding order lines and adding pricing, approving and sending invoices. They wouldn't have time to do after calculations of operational profitability. They wouldn't have time to track non-paying customers. They wouldn't have time of finding loss posts. We're helping the accountant accomplish more. Not just mindlessly copy-pasting invoices, but automating the mundane tasks allows them to increase their competence and become an essential part of the team. Preparation is key. Without the support of your team, you have a significant chance of failed projects. So keep in mind that understanding every stakeholder's drive and desires is crucial, and align your team with the bigger picture and guide them to see how the transformation will increase their worth. Finally, no automation without change. Your business will change, transform, and evolve into a new entity. It will come with challenges, and much like making an omelette, you can only make an omelette by breaking some eggs. In the end, a bright new future is awaiting, a tomorrow where your company will not only exceed its KPIs, but it will become a breeze to train and onboard people in these automated sections of the organization. I want to thank you for listening and reading the book. It was written with people like you in mind as an inspirational workbook. No too fluffy content, no long wedge theories, just packed with knowledge to help you make better decisions. I really hope you've enjoyed reading this book and do reach me with remarks and questions. Thanks for listening. Sasha.